It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello and welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name is James Truepenny. This is my show. And today we are in New Japan Pro Wrestling in Osaka, Japan. 5,441 people at the Edeon Arena. I don't believe it was formerly called Osaka Joe Hall, which was a far better name, but, you know, God bless sponsors for giving people money to put wrestling shows on. For Power Struggle and the Super J Tag League Finals. And to join me to discuss this momentous occasion is Mr. Marcus Green. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Glad to be back.
And also joining us, Christy from Wrestling Sexism and New Japan Gifts. How are you, Mom?
Hi, I'm great, actually. Good. Really excited about talking about New Japan again.
Yeah, we're back on the old groove, as it were. So New Japan doing well. It's kind of, Power Struggle is a bit of an odd show. Cool stuff happens at Power Struggle, and some insignificant stuff happens at Power Struggle. But this was kind of a nice mix of everything. We have some big news stories to talk about at the end of the show, but we'll start with the first match, which was ACH, Chris Sabin, Raisuke Taguchi, Toa Henare, and they defeated El Soberano, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, and Volador Jr. in 6 minutes and 10 seconds. Christy, what did you think of this?
I think this was an end to the whole Super Juniors Tag League that they had going. It was just really fun to see. These teams were the ones that had the most fun, I think. Especially Taguchi. Tiger and Liger are always entertaining and messing about and not quite the most serious of competitors.
Yeah,
and I think that Sabin and ACH as two foreigners wrestling in New Japan were really, really excited about doing so. Sabin's whole bromance with Kushida was adorable this tournament. For those who haven't seen it, watch their backstage stuff because they're just great together. They have so much fun. They like each other so much. They're so cute. I don't know how else to say it. They're so cute. They're clearly having so much fun and just enjoying being together and thinking up weird things. Like when they're together, they're Alex Shelley or something like that.
Yeah.
Where they're both Alex Shelley, and when they're apart, they're Alex Shelley, and it's really, really strange but really fun.
Cool.
And then you've got the CMLL guys who are flying all over the place and doing amazing things. And I think a lot of people are missing out because they think, oh, this tournament, do I have to watch all the matches?
Yeah, I missed.
No.
Yeah, I must.
You don't have to, but you're missing out.
I know. I must admit, I'd give it a miss this year just because I've been so busy at work, and I knew I'd got to this podcast, and I knew I'd have time to watch the main event, so I did. But I couldn't put in everything into the tag league like I'd like to, and it'll probably be the same way with the heavyweight tag league because of the pressure of being a music teacher at the end of the year at Christmas is my busy period. So, Marcus, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yes, similar to Christie's, I've kind of been like you. They're kind of been in and out of the tag league because obviously, you know, it's just a lot going on. But it was fun just seeing, you know, this group with, you know, Chris Sabin and ACH and Taguchi, who's always just amazing to watch. And like I said on previous shows, kind of most of the year it's been like strangely interesting to see like Liger and his group kind of tack up a lot of wins, obviously, but here they took a L, but it was just a nice, solid, fun opener, not too long, not too short, just right.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, then we'll move on to the second match, which featured Bullet Club, Robbie Eagles, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa, and they defeated Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe, and Tomoyuki Honma, and Kushida in 7 minutes and 39 seconds. This was a bit of a setup match for what happened at the edge end, but the actual match itself was a lot of fun. Robbie Eagles has made a fair impression this tournament, wouldn't you say, Marcus?
Yeah, I wasn't too familiar with him at all, but he's become fun to watch. Certainly, you know, definitely intriguing, and putting him with Bullet Club, definitely some fun stuff. Obviously, Bullet Club has been gaining momentum throughout the year, so they're not going to take too many L's, obviously. Michael Bay and Homer, and definitely with my boy Kushida, go put up a fight, but you know, they've had a lot of momentum and look to continue that. So definitely a fun little bout.
What did you think of this one, Christine? What do you think of Robbie Eagles and his run in the tag league?
I didn't see most of this match because Honma is in it.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. Yes.
No, that's okay. I do watch bits of it.
Yeah, you skip through it.
And I do. And I do have opinions about Eagles and stuff like that. I really enjoyed Eagles. Mm-hmm. I think he was a bit nervous in the beginning.
Yeah.
But he got through that and he became... It's also difficult to partner with someone you don't know. You've probably hardly ever wrestled who doesn't speak your language.
Yeah.
So I think it might have taken a bit of time. And I think he really got it together at the end there.
Yeah.
And I like this idea that they've got... like rogue agents everywhere. Like if they're going to say Korea, they've got someone there. If they're going to Spain, they've got someone there.
Yeah.
I like that about Bullet Club, that you can't really trust them. There's always someone lurking behind you.
Yeah.
So the idea of Robbie Eagles and more guys like that, I enjoy that. I don't want them all to be part of New Japan.
Yeah.
But I don't mind them on the fringes and in different promotions and occasionally coming over to help Ishimori out, who's really loneliest, the tiniest man in Bullet Club.
True. Well, Ishimori did make a play in this. Now, he apparently had an ankle injury going into this match. That's the reason why he wasn't in the cards, but worked pretty well when he clobbered Kushida with his crutch and made his claim to challenge for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship at Wrestle Kingdom, which is very likely to happen. And I think that's an interesting challenger. It's a match we haven't seen before. He obviously had that great match with Hiromu Takahashi at the Best of Super Juniors final. So this should be, you know, he deserves a shot and this should be a really interesting matchup.
I had to laugh at the beginning there because I saw him coming out with those crutches and I was actually really sad that they didn't have Tama or Fale carry him out.
Really sell it more than it needed to. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, that would have
selling.
Been hilarious, but he needed the crutches to hit someone over the head with. So it's okay, I guess.
Yeah, they did a good job, really. The next match was a tag team match. Chaos, Beretta and Kazuchika Okada defeated Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale and Jay White. 4 minutes and 32 seconds. It was short, but by God, it was impressive. Especially Beretta taking it to Bad Luck Fale and getting the pinfall victory in this matchup, which we don't normally see. Especially Bad Luck Fale doesn't drop too many pins, even in tag team matches. And I just genuinely thought, well, he's there for a reason. But Beretta got the pinfall over Bad Luck Fale, which will possibly set things up for them on upcoming tours. But it certainly sets up Jay White versus Okada. Christy, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
I thought it was really interesting, mostly because, as people know, I'm a storyline girl.
Yeah.
So the whole Chaos versus Bullet Club storyline is really interesting to me, and especially Okada, because I find Okada's character really fascinating right now, because he's always been defined by his title, or at least the last couple of years. If you talked about Okada, you talked about him being the champion, and he's not right now, and I find that really interesting, like how... what do they do with him? How does he work when he's not the champion who everyone looks up to?
Yeah.
So this whole story about him versus Jay White is so fascinating to me because it's so personal, more so than it was when someone were to challenge him for the title, because it's not so much the title that Jay wants right now. He just wants to destroy Okada and Chaos.
Yeah.
It's personal because Chaos was Okada's faction and Jay White just set out to destroy it from the moment he got into Chaos.
Yeah.
And this match was a lot like that as well. It was clear that they weren't really focused on the match itself, more on each other. And Okada was so angry at points that he was even throwing young lions around.
Mm.
And he doesn't do that.
No. No, I
find that the most interesting part about this. Fale and Beretta, I think it's more a Chaos versus Bullet Club right now.
Yeah.
And this may turn into something for World Tag League, but I think that the focus is on Okada and Jay and maybe on what is going on within Chaos right now, because Jay White did say that there is a mole in chaos.
Yeah.
Still. And who is that? Are we going to guess?
I'm going to say it's Yoshihashi, myself.
How dare you?
I knew it.
You would never. I'm going to cry so hard if it's Yoshihashi.
Aww.
And then cry from sadness and then hilarity because him in Bullet Club sounds
it'd just be wrong.
Really entertaining. Can you imagine him versus Tama Tonga?
Yeah.
And that. Just him blinking at Tama when he's speaking English and he doesn't quite understand what's going on. My idea is that it's Rocky.
That, yes, King of Sneaky Style, that would make the most sense, I suppose, logically speaking.
Not just because he speaks English,
yeah.
But also because he's been the focus of Jay White's anger during the whole tour before.
Yeah.
And he was really, really angry that Jay did what he did, and that kind of thing is also really fascinating. Like, are you protesting a bit too much there,
yes,
Rocky?
Yes, yes.
And I've also looked at the schedule, and there's a lot of matches where Tanahashi and Okada are teaming up, but with either Kushida or Kushida and Rocky versus the Bullet Club.
Intriguing.
So I may be really, really wrong.
Yeah.
But if I had to put money on it, it would be wrong.
What's your thoughts on this match, Marcus? And what's your thoughts on the Mole in Bullet Club? Oh, sorry, Mole in Chaos.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just looking at the matches, just like you said, James, it was short and sweet and to the point. Loved everything they're doing with Okada, like Christy alluded to, because, you know, I said it before, Okada let the wolf in the hen house.
Yeah.
And now he's paying for it. He's been paying for it since the minute he did it. And now everything's just, you know, things coming home to roost, if you will. So to see this aggression out of him, as opposed to that kind of nonchalant vibe that he's kind of been giving off ever since he's lost the title, kind of, you know, pseudo-finding himself again, is great to see. And somebody like Jay White, who has truly been can be a pain in anybody's side, bringing that out of him was cool. And, I mean, it was cool just seeing that point, like Chrissy said, you know, them not really focusing on the match, because that's not really what it's, you know, that they didn't care. I mean, this is about, you know, Jay White being a maniac and just trying to ruin anything for Okada and Chaos. But, you know, this left a perfect window for Beretta to go against Fale and beat Fale of all people. Like, you know, Fale is just not no pushover by any means. So for him to be able to do that was great. Didn't expect it, but I'm glad they did it. I mean, you know, the whole thing about Beretta, he's supposed to have been making this transition into being a heavyweight. And, you know, if you go call yourself a heavyweight, who better to beat than Fale?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So I thought that.
You there, Marcus?
Yeah.
Sorry, your voice just went off at the end. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah. I was just saying, if you know you're gonna call yourself a heavyweight, who better to beat than the heaviest of weights in Japan?
What are your thoughts on the Mole?
As the Mole, that is interesting. But it makes a lot of sense, because when you look at what's happened with that, Jay White kind of infiltrating, you know, Chaos, you know, caused obviously a lot of commotion, but mainly it was him going against Okada, but that whole thing just got in a lot of people's way. And
yeah.
It's funny you bring up Yoshihashi, because he was very much one of those guys, specifically when it came to tag matches, that whole thing just got in his way, and it was obviously pissing him off.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of feels like that vibe, like I'm not really getting nowhere with Chaos. I feel like I've not kind of been stalled for a long time within Chaos, and I need to graduate to another level. And I think we talked about it before, you know, you've had to, I guess maybe he might be caught between two streams of consciousness when it comes to, like, where do I need to go?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In terms of maybe, like, getting under the wing of somebody like a Tanahashi, who sees potentially me, the potentially maybe be an ace down the line or something in that elk, certainly far more than what I'm doing right now. Then you could go the other way of Bullet Club, where, I mean, clearly I could rack up more wins in the Bullet Club. And yeah, if I still, you know, kind of pissed off at Chaos, this would be a good way of getting back at them. So, you know, that'll be perfect. And then, of course, like Christy said, it could be King of Sneaky Style. You going on inside the head of Romero. So But I put my money more on Yoshihashi because I just think storyline-wise it makes more sense.
Okay, then. So, next matchup was Golden Lovers versus Dave Finley and Hiroshi Tanahashi, which is an interesting tag team to say the least, but they were kind of handpicked because Kenny Omega will be wrestling Dave Finley on the Long Beach shows based around the New Japan LA Dojo. So that was kind of like a precursor for that match. It was obviously also a precursor for Wrestle Kingdom, and there was an awful lot of tension between Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kenny Omega. We're trying to make this main event at Wrestle Kingdom feel like a big match, and it is. And of course, this Kota Ibushi and Dave Finley were like, yeah, all right. Marcus, what are your thoughts on this matchup? And your before we have to precurse it, your thoughts on Tanahashi's new hairstyle? I'm waiting for Christie's response to that, but it is glorious.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, the things that this man can do with his hair. I mean, he could go through as many hairstyles as John Hennigan goes through last names. but ironically, like Hennigan, it just works. It works far better because, I mean, Tanahashi is just, he's almost like a unicorn. So brilliant. Anything with Tanahashi's hair, brilliant. As long as he doesn't go Suzuki with it, I think everybody's safe from a heart attack. But as far as the match goes, yeah, they're kind of similar to the Chaos match. It was more so, everybody knows how much we appreciate Dave Finley, specifically, James.
Yeah.
love anytime Dave Finley gets some shine. And of course, Kota Ibushi is, one of the best. You never want to see him get put in the background by any means. But, the main event of Wrestle Kingdom takes precedent. So it was cool seeing Omega maybe have little instances of that cockiness we got from Okada towards the end of his run, where he was basically trying to treat Tanahashi like a new boy. Kenny is very much, showing that new style, that I guess the evolution of what New Japan brings. And of course, Tanahashi is the staple, the classic, holding up those New Japan values as the ace, and things are collide. But holding the title and the briefcase up in Tanahashi's face, that's never a good thing with me, just because I'm like, you don't disrespect the Hosh like that. Don't these days, I don't care how many L's he takes or injuries or what have you, he's always gonna be the ace, and you don't disrespect the ace. But this is only putting more fuel on the fire to the match, so I dug it. And of course, they came out with the win. Momentum seems like he's in Omega's corner, but you can never count out the ace.
Christy, what are your thoughts on this matchup, and of course the hair?
The hair, love the hair, by the way. It was great. Tanahashi's been rocking the better hairstyles now because his hair has grown longer. I think he's really happy about that as well. Because I remember when he had to cut it and he looked like someone shot his dog. It was horrible. And it's getting longer now, so he can do more things with it. Braids and pigtails and whatever else he wants to do. So I'm really happy that way. About the match, can I just point out that this match is Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega versus Kota Ibushi versus Tanahashi and Finlay.
Yeah.
And it's not even halfway on the card.
Yeah.
How stacked was this?
This was a well-loaded card. This was really, really was. Despite it was the first time Golden Lovers haven't wrestled in the main event since they reformed, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, this match would have been the main event of any other more house showy show that they run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's just title matches and singles matches and lots of craziness on this card. About the match itself, I thought it was really interesting that Tanahashi and Finley were matched up, because Finley is kind of in the position that some people think Ibushi is.
Yeah.
Where he's in the shadow of Tanahashi and he's not, maybe not considered an equal.
Yeah.
Even though I love Finley, he's not on the aces level.
No.
I think that's different from Kota. I think Kota is much more on Kenny's level than Finley is on Tanahashi's. I think maybe even Kota is in Kenny's mind above him.
Yeah.
Even though he has the title.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the whole Kenny versus Tanahashi, I find that so interesting, the whole storyline of how do you imagine New Japan in the future?
Mm.
And Tanahashi has such a clear idea in his head. And that idea didn't include Kenny Omega. It included Kota Ibushi, but not Omega.
Yeah.
And Omega, I think his vision did include Tanahashi, but not in the role that Tanahashi is now or that Tanahashi wants to be.
Yeah.
He's very clearly focused on outwards, whereas Tanahashi's more focused on inwards, on everything inside New Japan and inside Japan. And Kenny is focused on what's happening out there.
Yeah.
On the foreign expansion. And I find it difficult as well, because I'm finding it difficult to find out who to root for in this, because they're both wrong at times. And they're both being huge dicks to each other at times. Mm. I'm always going to be in Tanahashi's corner, I think, because I find him so relatable and nice. But it's difficult in this particular match because they're both wrong.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm. Okay, then. We move on to the final of the Super J Tag League 2018. And it was a three-way match in the final. Roppongi 3K defeated Suzuki Gun, and Los Ignorables de Japón. That'd be Sho and Yo beating El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemura and Bushi and Shingo Takagi. I, well documented, I'm not a big fan of three-way matches, but I thoroughly enjoyed this. This was really, really good and probably the best junior heavyweight match, tag match I've seen all year. Everybody was firing on all cylinders. It seems like Takagi really wanted to make a statement as a junior heavyweight in this particular tournament and in this particular company. I thoroughly enjoyed everything. So, Christy, what was your thoughts on this one?
I was so conflicted. I looked at these teams and I was like, oh no, don't make me choose. I love Sho and Yo. I think they're so great as baby faces. I think they're entertaining, they're fun, they're active online. If you haven't looked at Yohei's blog, please look at it. It's so entertaining. He's finding Dragon Balls and he's taking pictures of it, and you can see the rest of Chaos in the background like, what are you doing? He's posting the most amazing pictures of himself. He's basically the junior version of Ishii.
Yeah.
They both have amazing blogs, and if you're not reading them or at least looking at the pictures, then you're missing out. Then you've got LIJ, and I'm always going to be in LIJ's corner because I love LIJ. But then you've also got Desperado, who's my one of my favorite wrestlers. So I was so conflicted who I wanted to win. When it comes to the match, they've got great chemistry, as you said. They're always entertaining together. It's clear that they're the three big tag teams in the junior division.
Yeah.
Which is probably also why they're in the Wrestle Kingdom match together. It makes sense to put them together because they also have really interesting dynamics between them. Sho and Shingo, for example, is a great combination.
Yeah.
I always think they do well together. They mix and match well together.
Yeah.
And then you've got guys like Yohei and Desperado, who are both more high flyers, both a bit more focused on entertainment, on being funny, on that kind of thing. So I find these combinations really fun, and I thought this match was really fun as well, with just on and on fun stuff by three really great teams that know how to work together by now.
Yeah, just blistering pace as well, just did not slow down all the way through it. Marcus, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, similar to you, James, definitely one of the best Super Junior bouts I've seen in a long time, certainly all year. Because we know a lot of times the junior heavyweight title kind of does get defended in matches like this. And in the past, a lot of times they can be clusters. But this was the complete antithesis of that. Like you said, it kept breakneck pace throughout from start to finish. You know, it's kind of been the reascension, if you will, of Roppongi 3K. You know, we know they've had an up and down year. And obviously their main goal has been become champions again. They've kind of been on a rocky road to get there, but very much coming out on the brighter end of that. Obviously, Kanemaru and Desperado holding, clinching those titles tight, you know, very much deploying that Suzuki gun style throughout the year to very much, you know, keep the grip on them. And LIJ is also following all cylinders. Bushi is a staple, and really been impressed from the minute he stepped in New Japan from Takagi. You know, he got some great time in this match to really show off, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing him going forward. So, yeah, just a great overall match. I'm glad it got the time it did. You know, Tola, you know, it was just a fun outing and showing for the Super Juniors. And, of course, like I said, Roppongi 3K came out on top. Like Romero said after the match, the only thing that would have made it better is if they would have nabbed the title. So we're going to see what they can do when they get the shot.
Come Wrestle Kingdom, then they will be the challengers as the champions of the Super J Tag League. Right then, the next match. Now, ordinarily, if we have a big championship win, I like to give the person who's a fan of that person the moment first. But you're both big fans of this person, so I can stay in order. Hirooki Goto defeats Tai Chi for the NEVER Openweight Championship in 15 minutes and 2 seconds. Marcus, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
Not my favorite match of the night.
Is that because it had Tai Chi in it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You're always spot on, James. Yeah, Goto, my man Goto. You know, and it's funny enough, as much of a bigger fan I am of Goto, I did want to see Ospreay put it to Tai Chi, but also I think he went down with an injury, so yeah. Goto slid back up in here and very much beat that other guy. And took his title back, man. He's very much becoming synonymous with the NEVER Openweight title, and I'm fine with that. And it feels like it's going to set up a match with Ospreay, and that'll be what, Chaos versus Chaos.
It will, yes,
which is cool, and I'm perfectly fine with that. And it's just going to be clearly a far better match. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Tai Chi looked like he had a clear open win there. I think Goto on his head. It's kind of let it go from him, but like I said, you'll never hear me complaining about a Goto win, and certainly not a Tai Chi loss. That's why I'm at with it. Not my favorite match of the night, but definitely the result I wanted.
Christy, what do you think of this one?
This match had me really nervous for some reason.
Yeah.
Because I was going into it thinking, oh my god, Goto is going to make Goto lose again. Because Ospreay was supposed to be in it, and Goto wasn't supposed to be in it. So why have Goto win?
Yeah.
It made no sense to me. Mm. So I was fully expecting Goto to take the loss and be really annoyed at that. Because he always has to lose in these things. It's like, oh, Ospreay is injured. Throw in Goto, I guess. But then he won. So, ha. Huh. And I didn't mind the match so much, I think. I'm predisposed to liking Goto matches anyway.
Yeah.
And I find Tai Chi entertaining in his own way. I knew this wasn't going to be a great match because Tai Chi is not that great of a wrestler. And he also doesn't have to be that great of a wrestler because his entire personality is based around being annoying.
Yeah.
Not caring, making the fans hate him. So I figured that was going to be an issue in this match as well. And I actually kind of like them together, Goto and Tai Chi. I think Goto can pull at least something out of Tai Chi, wrestling-wise.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he's so solid. And character-wise, I like that it's the stoic warrior dude who's always really nice and who's all about honor and dignity and defending chaos and loyalty versus Tai Chi, who is the exact opposite of all of that.
Yeah.
And I find that really, really entertaining. And I'm also really, looking back on it now, I think a Goto win makes sense, actually.
Mm.
Because do you want a Tai Chi singles match at Wrestle Kingdom?
No, not really. No. No.
At all.
That would sully.
So, I can imagine that maybe Ospreay was supposed to win.
Yeah.
Maybe. To do something interesting there. And also, if you look at where it looks like it's going, which is Goto versus Ibushi, I'm really excited about that.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
Because I mean, have you guys seen the bits that they're doing between those two?
No, I haven't seen that yet, no.
It's basically Goto going, you beat me at, I think, the New Japan Cup, maybe? The G1. You beat me at the G1, so if you want, you can have this title shot, because I want to beat you now. And yeah. Ibushi going, that's really nice of you, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. Mm. But, which is kind of rude.
Yeah.
But whatever. but they're matched up during the next tour.
Right.
So I imagine something is going to happen, because Goto Ibushi is a worthy singles match of Wrestle Kingdom, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tai Chi Ibushi, maybe not so much.
No, definitely not. But there you go. Yeah, I mean, also as well, with Ibushi going, if Ibushi does end up going after Goto, that brings together the Ibushi Will Ospreay feud in the future, possibly as well, or even Goto versus Ospreay, as Marcus alluded to too.
So or another three-way.
Yes, or another three-way. okay, we'll move on to the next match, which was the Rev Pro Undisputed British Heavyweight Championship. I will mark this point again. I'm not keen on the British Heavyweight Championship being defended by a Japanese guy against a Japanese guy in Japan. It's the same deal with the New Japan US Heavyweight Championship, which is always defended in Japan and sometimes not by an American. Doesn't make any sense to me. Having said that, this was brutal and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was possibly my match of the year. This was absolutely awesome. These two are sheer magic and money together. This was publicized as one of the main events on this particular card, above Naito and Zack Sabre Jr., even though that didn't appear on the poster. I just thoroughly love this. I just love these two guys, and I just love watching them wrestle each other. So, Christy, what did you think of this?
This match, though. I mean, my body hurts just watching it. And it's always the case with these two, and I should be prepared by now.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not. It's just so brutal, and they work so well together. They've been everywhere. This feud has been everywhere. They've done this in England. They've done it in Japan. And if you let them feud in any other country, I'm sure they would, because they really enjoy wrestling each other. They really enjoy killing each other. It's this whole thing of Suzuki loves torturing people, and Ishii looks like he doesn't care that someone's torturing him. And that fires up Suzuki even more. Like, how dare you? I'm hurting you. You should hurt. I've said it before that Ishii is sometimes, he looks angry that someone's not bleeding. Suzuki is the same. Like, why are you not bleeding yet? Why haven't you run away? Why are you hitting me back as hard as I am hitting you? And I love that between them. They're both just so angry that the other person isn't going down, that they ramp up and do crazy moves on each other. And It's lucky that Ishii doesn't have a neck, because
it would have been in serious trouble.
He probably
probably was just, anyway.
I really love it. I mean, these type of matches aren't my favorite match.
Yeah.
I'm storyline. I'm a bit of entertainment more so than brutal killing each other.
Yeah.
But I can appreciate these two so much, and yeah, they're just great.
Marcus, what did you think of this one?
Oh, God, what to say about this? yeah, I mean, first off, if James calls something match of the year, it's coming from James or anybody else. Specifically, when it comes to these two, it's really hard to debate. But I'm also on the side of Christy, this is not my favorite matchup, just because I know what I'm gonna get. I normally have to watch this, and I had to watch this through my fingers.
Yeah.
It's the JR's, it's the physical interpretation of JR's classic slobber knocker, where you literally get the two men knocking the slob out of each other. and that comes with knocking each other's brains loose, which they did traded enough hits to do. So I mean, it's brutality to the max. I appreciate both of these guys, two of the best, two of the most brutal going, and it's always weird for me just to see Ibushi get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
It's just not something I'm used to seeing. It's like watching Godzilla go down. Like, well, Godzilla is on his feet and he's killing something. So that's always weird. Suzuki's brutality mixed with his just sick, perverted, you know, the whole thing with the blood and the spit, and it's crazy. But it's so weird just watching. It's like two people in these like monster trucks trying to see how bad of an accident they can have.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
In the worst possible way, but it works for these two. Like I said, if somebody calls this a match of the night, I'm not debating. It's just not my favorite match of the night.
Fair enough.
These two are, like James said, they are magic together. I'm pretty sure they've knocked years off each other's career.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But then again, one's 50 and the other one's 42.
Yeah. So,
so this point doesn't really matter.
Exactly. And like James said, I'm definitely not going to contest what you said about the title. That is always a weird thing. when it comes to the U.S. and whatever, but sure, I guess what you're gonna say, that's wrestling. But
yeah,
you know, an absolute slobber knocker, and you would think that after this, these guys would take a break, but Suzuki is after anyone at any time for absolutely no reason. So we might get it again somewhere, who knows, next week.
Yeah. Okay, then. So we move on to the next matchup, which featured Tetsuya Naito, and he defeated Zack Sabre Jr. in a special singles match, as they say, in 20 minutes and 12 seconds. There was a four-way kind of story, a three-way kind of story about who was going to get to Chris Jericho first, and obviously Evil got to Chris Jericho first, and then this was kind of who was going to get to him next, because they've been teasing this all summer long between Zack Sabre Jr., Evil, and Naito about who was going to finally get to Chris Jericho and the Intercontinental Championship. And it's been a really interesting story, and this was kind of its final chapter on this mini feud. Tetsuya Naito wins. I thought that was kind of what was going to happen, but the match they had was just beautiful. And Zack Sabre Jr. is a beautiful, beautiful man who does beautiful, beautiful things in a wrestling match that I thoroughly enjoy. And I was watching, listening to the show last week. I was talking with Chelsea because I was watching the Snake Pit shoot wrestling championships from Wigan. And the amount of stuff that Zack Sabre Jr. has borrowed from shoot wrestling and grappling is just amazing. And it was wonderful to see. Marcus, what's your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, another great outing for these two. I mean, I dig the story. Just because, Zach's been just racking up wins all year against everybody, and he's just had a lot of people's number, specifically, the guy in the main event coming up, but Naito's as well. I think what he beat him in, he knocked him out of the G1, and he beat him, before that?
Yeah.
So, definitely, had his number coming in this match, and Naito's definitely had an up-and-down year. So he's been looking to regain some momentum. And then, like you said, it's kind of like the first to get to Jericho. And Zach was a bump on the road to that. Love the fact that Naito basically was targeting, with the head and neck of Zach, which very much slowed what he could do submission-wise. Obviously, he locked him in, but not as often or as effectively as he would have. And it allowed Naito to really get some breathing room in there, because it's not many strategies you can come up with to even combat Sabre Jr. when he's 100% fine on all cylinders. It's just now you just go have to survive a lot of times and push through. So, which we've talked about extensively before. So to see Naito come in here and do what he did, and obviously, we've been seeing this for the longest now, him having to put people away with multiple destinos. Mm. The first one he didn't really hit too well.
No,
but the
I
second
wasn't
one was flush.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see. And, I mean, you're not going to find a bad match with either of these two guys, specifically Junior. But, it was just cool to see, Naito come out on top and really, get it back on Zach, which is just not hurting Zach at all. He can beat anybody at any given time, any day. So, yeah, Naito has some momentum going after Jericho now. Great match.
Christy, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
I always love the matches these two have. They're just so, so much fun together. Also because their characters are similar but really different.
Yeah.
In a way.
Mm-hmm.
They're both just brats people. like, Zack is this entitled crown prince who has the entire faction basically carrying him around. Like, oh, look how amazing he is. I mean, he's got a person who tells people how amazing he is every match. Whereas Naito is LIJ's leader, but he's more one of them. You know, he's above them, but he doesn't act like that.
No.
He's family.
Yeah.
And you come at one of them, you come at Naito.
Yeah.
But I don't think if someone were to hit, say, Kanemaru over the head with something, that Zack would care much.
No.
That's not his personality. He's more focused on himself.
Yeah.
And then there's the opposites of how they react to things. Even in this match, Zack reacts with anger and frustration. And Naito is the epitome of disinterest.
Yeah.
I don't care. And then there's Zack, who likes torturing people. And Naito, who is great at being tortured. So it's really, I really like these two together because they mix their styles and their characters well together. So the matches are always interesting to me. Especially also because the whole Suzuki Gun versus LIJ feud has been ongoing for a couple of tours now. First it was Naito versus Suzuki. Then it was Naito wanting to wrestle Zack, but not wanting to wrestle Suzuki. There was Evil versus all of them. There's Jericho thrown in the mix. And it was really interesting. And this match was just a great ending to it all.
Yeah.
There's still some more to come, I think, because I think Naito made a comment about them being even now or something.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's more. Also, because Zack has been built up to be so strong.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious what they're going to do with Zack for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, that would be interesting because we're probably running out of single matches fast, to be honest with you, because Minoru Suzuki and Tomohiro Ishii has been... Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. was announced... Sorry, it was Zack Sabre Jr. is announced as Tomohiro Ishii's challenger for the Rev Pro Championship at Wrestle Kingdom last night at the Rev Pro show.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so...
So then what are they going to do with Suzuki?
I don't know, but they'll think of something big.
There are so many people you want to add to that card.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, if you look at... we're probably going to talk about World Tag League. But if you look at those tag teams, there's lots of people in there that I would want to see on the Wrestle Kingdom card, but where do you put them?
Yeah, this is it. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. So, yeah. But yeah, Zack Sabre Jr., Tomohiro Ishii for the Rev Pro British Championship at Wrestle Kingdom, which will be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be another potential show stealer, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it now. Ow. just ow, because that's what
Ishii is strangely flexible, though.
But Zack
I the only one who was always surprised by that?
But to be fair, I think if you wrestle Zack before, he's made you stretch him by hook or by crook. One more thing before we move on to the next match. If I come back in another life as a wrestler, I want Naito to be my tailor. Period.
Yeah, there you go.
Wardrobe guy, up and down.
Are you sure that's Naito, though, and not Bushi going, I don't want you in my faction if you look like a slob? Or Sanada with his suits. Like, they're coming together to force Naito into these suits. That's my headcanon.
This is true. They are the freshest faction in wrestling.
All right, then. We move on to the main event, which was Chris Jericho defeating Evil in 21 minutes and 40 seconds in an IWGP Intercontinental Championship match, his first defense since winning the title earlier in the year. This was a brawl. No other real ways to mention, to say about it, and Evil really did himself an awful lot of favors, and Chris Jericho was so giving in this match. I'm not a big Jericho fan these days, but he did put the effort in. They haven't just paid him money for him to turn up. He's done a really, really good job, and he's made Evil look like a superstar as well in the process. We'll talk about the end of this match later, but Christy, what are your thoughts on this main event?
I really enjoyed it. I always enjoy Evil matches. I think he works really, really hard, always. And I don't think he gets enough credit these days. by either New Japan or the fans sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho used to be my favorite wrestler. Chris Jericho is the reason why I got into wrestling.
Oh, cool.
I'm not sure I've told this story, but in the Netherlands, there was a three-month period where they were showing Raw on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then never, ever since, I think. And I was zapping channels, and suddenly there was this blonde guy with a microphone yelling at people. I was like, what is going on? And then I watched and watched and watched and got obsessed. And that's how I got into wrestling. Chris Jericho yelling at people.
There you go.
Yeah. Then this match. Chris Jericho is like this lone wolf who shows up to take out all of the most popular guys in New Japan. And then he leaves. Because he can. Because he's that cool. Because he's that annoying. and then this match, it was brutal in not in the same way as Ishii and Suzuki was, but in that there was lots of brawling, and I was always worried, especially when they brought out the table, because evil and tables, they don't mix. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but there's always something going wrong when evil takes a table bump.
Yeah.
It's either he's bleeding, or he looks like he's dying, or he's holding his neck. But he always takes the brunt of it. And in this case, he tried to headbutt the table, which was pretty nice. He didn't quite make it, luckily, but he went face first into the table. And it went up at the side, and I was really worried that he was gonna hit it with his head. But luckily, he was fine. I also think their styles mix really well.
Yeah, definitely.
Because Jericho kind of needs the brawling on the outside at this point.
Mm.
He's not in the shape that he maybe needs to be. He doesn't have the time. I mean, I don't expect him to, considering what else he does. So Evil's style really matches up well. The chair throwing, the camera throwing, the table spots. He can just let Evil do his thing, and then Jericho can give back, like you said. He gave him back a lot. I wanted Evil to win, even though I knew he wouldn't. I knew he wouldn't. I went into this going, there's no way Evil is going to win, because there's so many stories that they can tell with Jericho and Naito again. But I wanted him to, because I think it would have done so much for him to win here. But I think it's just bad timing. They're not going to give Evil the win right before Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So sadly, he had to lose. I didn't like the way he lost, to be honest. I think it went a bit too quickly. He tapped in a couple of seconds, which made me sad. I think for how giving Jericho was this match, I think that bit could have been
a bit longer.
Could have been better. Because it made Evil look a bit weak, considering he just done all of that this entire match, and then he taps out to Jericho's. It is a finisher. I understand that, but I would have liked to have seen a bit more at the end there. But overall, it was a great main event, and I think it did wonders for both guys.
Marcus, what do you think of this particular matchup?
I loved it. Everything about it. This was my favorite match of the night. Maybe one of my favorites of the year, and probably my favorite Jericho match since he's been back. to be honest, I mean, there's nobody. I should say there are few better than Jericho. You know, that are as good as Jericho at doing every single thing he needs to do, not only for where he is physically as a performer, but everything he needs to do for where he is character-wise. Like, just all the stuff, the great table spot, which sucked for Evil, but was great. Everything is Jericho. the entrances was great. Evil with that great, almost Doctor Strange magic type of vibe he had coming out with the highlight on the entrance, which if I was Evil in this feud, I would have been scared to come out first. you know, just, you know, it's freaking against Jericho. He could have literally just popped out of the dark one. But yeah, this match was great for me. I mean, Evil had to step it up, and he did. You know, I think this kind of harkens back to why I loved last year's Dominion match between Kushida and Hiromu so much, because Hiromu made Kushida step up. You know, Evil had to kick up the aggression, and he did it from the opening bell. Didn't even let Jericho really get settled before the match started, and it just, like Christy said, they styles clashed great. You know, Jericho was very, like you said, given this match, he didn't have any slip ups. They really meshed well together, and I just love that Evil just got to a point where he was like, "Look, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts!" And he did stuff at the table spot and the great stuff with the chair spot. I mean, he was pulling no punches with Jericho, and that's what you have to do for this Jericho.
Yeah,
you know, pulling their punches, he's gonna embarrass you and basically treat you like trash while beating the hell out of you. Mm. And you know, Evil was having none of it, and he really brought it to him. And I just thought it was a great bout, straight up and down. I thought Evil could have pulled it out, maybe if he would have hit another Everything Is Evil. But you know, Jericho caught him. And I very much, you know, get what Chris is talking about with the finish. It looked like he was going for a lion tamer, but he saw he wasn't going to get it and just kept with the walls.
Yeah.
So Evil could have held on a little bit longer, but, you know, that's the finish. But, yeah, I just thought it was really just a great showing by both men. Doesn't take away from Evil with the loss for me, because, you know, we've been seeing this whole thing of Evil kind of becoming more and more of a singles guy. Still great with our boy, but you know, Sonata, but you know, he's really coming up against the best, and he's been in these big match situations, so everything's kind of been building for him to face somebody like a Jericho, and he almost pulled it out. So I look forward to Evil getting a huge win further down the line, but this was a great outing.
Yeah, it was a really, really, really good match overall, and it is kind of an example of Jericho's run of trying to get other people over rather than just being there as the big star. He's done both, so that's the way it should be. Right, we have some news stories to talk about, which is kind of unusual for us because we don't normally do this, but we've got a couple of things that have cropped up this week. Which one are we going to tackle first? Should we go with the Takumi Chinoku story and get the sad one out of the way first?
Okay. Oh, dear.
Yeah, Takumi Chinoku had been discovered to have been having an affair for the last 8 years, and K-Dojo, the company that he owns and runs, has suspended him as a director and suspended him as a wrestler. He will not be taking any pay as a wrestler in K-Dojo for the next 12 months, nor will he be taking any pay from New Japan in the next 12 months. The money will go to K-Dojo as a fine for his public behavior, and we don't know how this is going to affect his push in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Do you have any thoughts on this, guys?
Can I go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Ladies first.
Okay. When I saw this, I was so sad for several reasons. First of all, the moral reasons.
Yeah.
Like, why? I mean, 8 years. That's not an affair. That's a relationship.
Yes, true.
If it's that serious that you're willing to do that for 8 years, then maybe talk to your wife.
Yeah, you would think like, so, really, wouldn't you?
Like, seriously, 8 years. But then also the saddest thing for me was that it's clearly going to impact K-Dojo and all the people there.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, as sad as it would be to lose Taka, he's done it all. He's at the end of his career. But there are so many people in K-Dojo who have their futures ahead of them.
Yeah.
That could be influenced by this. Just, I was thinking about Yoshida.
Yeah.
Wrestling for New Japan. I'm like, is this going to affect him wrestling for New Japan? It didn't, luckily.
No.
But it could have.
Yeah.
And that just makes me so sad.
Yeah, you've got responsibilities outside your relationship that this will affect, especially in Japanese culture. Like, if this happened to an American director of, say, Impact Wrestling, no one would care. But the culture that you have with those social boundaries, you've got to pay attention to the rules that you're following, haven't you?
Yeah, And then his participation in New Japan, I guess we're going to see during the World Tag League if they're going to have him second Zach. I don't imagine so.
Yeah.
Considering this, he's also not listed as far as I can see in any matches, which doesn't surprise me. I didn't expect him to be in the matches, but just saying he's not listed as far as I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's luckily for Suzuki-Gun, his role is not pivotal.
No.
If it had been Kanemaru, then they would have been in a bit more trouble considering he's a title holder right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me so sad for several reasons. Also because I like Taka, and I was really disappointed to find out about this. And he's had a baby like a couple of months ago. It's just really sad.
It is. It really is very sad. Marcus, have you got any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I just echo those sentiments. I mean, when I first heard it, obviously it was, both disappointing, certainly from a moral standpoint, but I also had to kind of go back and kind of almost check myself because I kind of viewed it like, obviously New Japan, like, wow, they're coming off really harsh, but, that's saying that coming from an American perspective, which, to be quite honest, seems like infidelity over here has practically been turned into a sport. it seems that way at times, anyway.
Yeah.
But, it's very much a different culture in New Japan. I mean, we've seen how they are just about marijuana and stuff of that nature. So it's a different culture. And when you grew up in that, you know the rules. You know the implications should you break them. And, very much, I mean, you can't put it in more perfectly than Christy said. 8 years, that's not, that's not a side thing. That is a relationship.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
He very much knew the potential implications. And when you have the job that he does, for the, violation, I mean, it doesn't just blow back on you personally, with your family. It blows back on you professionally as well. And specifically people who depend on you. So, it definitely sucks, for his work obligations, specifically guys who this is going to blow back on, not just his career, which obviously this is going to stall in several ways. But, yeah, I think it's just a disappointing situation all around. But, again, it just shows, the culture in New Japan, and they do not play about things that they do not play about. So.
He should have known. I mean, Tai Chi is in his faction.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a story. Tai Chi is probably the last most well-known member of Suzuki-Gun that has also committed infidelity. So, yeah, so it's and he's a former tag team partner as well. In fact, he was tagging with him at the time, I think. So he knows how bad it can affect people. But anyway, the next story we've got to talk about is, and I know that the guys at Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind are going to talk about this a lot, so we'll have a quick pass over this. Was the news that Tetsuya Naito did have negotiation talks with WWE this week, but decided against it. We'll let them tell the full story. He's staying put. What are your thoughts on this, Christy?
I'm glad. I mean, WWE doesn't need Naito. They probably wouldn't be able to keep his character the way it is. They probably don't understand his character. I mean, I was talking about it to a friend on Twitter, I don't know the handle, sorry, about how Vince McMahon would react to the character of Tetsuya Naito. Like, is he a face? Is he a heel? if he's a face, then why isn't he excited about being here?
Yeah.
Why is he being anti-titles? Why is he being Naito? Vince wouldn't understand him.
No.
So, and he's I know people are frustrated about the position Naito is in right now.
Mm.
But I don't think his position in WWE would be better.
No. Yeah.
And he's not the youngest anymore.
No.
So I'm glad he's saying it makes sense to me. So.
Yeah, well, that is the rumor, isn't it, that Shinsuke Nakamura will be back in New Japan Pro Wrestling before very long because his contract's due with WWE. So,
I hope so. For his sake, more so than mine.
There's one failed event. Well, not failed, but it wasn't as particularly successful, I'm sure, as Shinsuke wanted to make it. Marcus, what are your thoughts on Tranquilio staying put?
It's a no-brainer for me. I mean, the man's obviously, using several quadrants of his brain effectively. Two names And like you said, Mike Freeland and the great guys on the show are going to expound on this. Two names, Shinsuke Nakamura and Asuka.
Yeah.
So we really have to say any more than that. Just look at what's been done.
Yeah.
I think we all know what could have been done, what's not being done, and what's not going to be done. You know, it's a no-brainer. However you feel about Naito on the card in New Japan is fine, but he's in New Japan. He'll rise again.
Yeah.
He always does. We've seen it with several guys. Look at Tanahashi. You know, he'll be fine. He's fine. He doesn't need the money. For some reason, people still consider going to WWE an upgrade. It's not. I mean, these days, going to NXT is considered getting called up.
Yeah.
In my eyes. So, you know, just look at those two names, and that'll tell you all you need to know.
Indeed. Right then, we'll move on to the last piece of news, which was the teams have been announced for Tag League, and this year, as per last year, anyone who's been booked for Wrestle Kingdom is not allowed to compete in Tag League. So the tag teams don't make a lot of star names. Well, there are a few star names in here, but, you know, it's going to be an interesting way that they've laid this out. So if I read out the names, I have a short opinion from each of our contributors about each one. Togi Makabe and Toa Henry, no Honma this year. GBH will not be reforming. I'm guessing that Homer isn't quite up to it yet with his injuries and his recoveries, and he's still on his way up. But I'm sure Christy will be happy about that.
I am so thankful I can watch their matches. Thank you.
Marcus, any work thoughts on those two?
Biggest fan of those guys, but I'm looking forward to see what they do.
Hiroshi Tenzan. I'll get that right. Hiroshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima. He's only like one of the most famous wrestlers of all time. Hiroshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima, Tenkozy, the greatest tag team in New Japan Pro Wrestling history, are back at it again. Christy, what are your thoughts on their chances?
Wrestle husbands.
Aww.
You know they're wrestle husbands. I'm so glad to see them. I find Tenzan sometimes difficult to watch, not because of him, but because of his injuries.
Yeah.
He just looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
However, I'm always happy to see them together, but because they're having so much fun, even at this age, and they're not going to give you star matches. No. Tenzan's just physically not able to do it anymore. But they're going to have fun matches. They're going to have matches with people who need the experience and who are going to learn a lot from wrestling these two. And seeing Kojima always makes me happy. So,
Marcus,
I'm okay with it.
Cool. Marcus, yeah, what are your thoughts on these two? Yeah?
Same.
Okay, then. We'll move on. Yuji Nagata will be tagging with Manubi Nakanishi, their old tag team, which they had many years ago. I haven't really seen a lot of them together, but they're pretty standard tag team partners. Lumpy and Cool Guy, I'm going to call them. Marcus, what are your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, not exactly familiar with this particular pairing, but there's never a doubt that, in my mind, that Nagata's going to put forth the effort. You know, we saw what he did, you know, just years prior to having somewhat of that great comeback-esque run. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to see what Blue Justice delivers in this tournament. Obviously, it's going to be great for the younger guys.
Definitely. Christy, what are your thoughts on these two?
Not my favorite team. Not so much because of Nagata, but Nakanishi. Nothing against him, but again, physically, he's not able to do enough.
No,
I think,
and still wrestles exactly the same way he did 25 years ago. He hasn't changed. He's just got slightly slower.
Yeah, and I respect both of them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy watching Nagata kick people really hard.
Okay.
But I don't think I'm going to get the matches I usually like.
Yeah,
but I'll watch them anyway. So who cares?
Iota Yoshida and Shota Umino, that's Red Shoes' son, and Iota Yoshida from Kaido Show. Marcus, what do you think of these two?
I wish them all success, specifically Red Shoes' son, because he spends a lot of time getting beat up.
He does,
so
yes.
Yeah, so I'm just looking forward to seeing him rack up some wins.
Christy?
I don't think they're going to win much.
No. or if at all, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think so. But I'm so excited for this team. I don't know if you remember that we talked about a Super Junior Tag League.
Yeah.
That I wanted Shota and Ren Narita to team up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is even better. So I'm happy, especially also because these two had a bit of tension during the tour that we just had.
Right.
If you don't watch the first couple of matches, then you wouldn't have noticed. But they had tension in a more opponent way. So I find it really interesting that they're together.
Yeah.
And I wonder what they're going to do with that, because this is new to them, I imagine, or at least to Umino, because I don't know what Yoshida does in K-Dojo.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy for him as well. I'm like a proud mother right now. like he's going to be in an official tournament. He's going to lose everything, but he's going to learn so much and have fun. And I'm always happy to see more matches that he's in. So great.
Cool. So Juice Robinson and Dave Finley fresh off his tour in CMLL. Juice Robinson fresh off his US title run. Could be outsiders, I think. Christy, what do you think?
Finn Juice. They're at least going to have a lot of fun.
I think they might make it to the final, personally. I think it could be them.
They might. I usually don't think about that, but they might. I think they're going to have great matches.
Yes.
And have a lot of fun. So I'm all for that. That's the kind of thing I like. And looking at the other teams, there's a lot of teams of big guys and veterans.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nice contrast to these two. And I think that's going to be really entertaining. So if you're looking to have a fun tournament, but you don't want to watch everything, I suggest watching them at least.
Marcus, your thoughts?
This is going to be my favorite tag team going into this, and very much echoing your sentiments, James, and them making it to the finals. I second that. You know, obviously, Dave Finley is always looking to make a splash. And we all know Juice needs the wins.
Yeah.
You know, he very much needs to get momentum back on his side coming off of the U.S. title, you know, loss and everything that's happened with that. So, you know, they're definitely going to be motivated. You know, definitely got the talent. All they need to do is put it all together.
Yeah, so. Definitely. All right, the next team is Jeff Cobb going by himself. Ring of Honor TV champion. Won't be tagging with anyone in this tournament at all. So, yeah, Jeff should be all right. He's pretty big. I think he'll work well in this handicap environment. Don't you think so, Marcus?
Yeah. I can only imagine doing as well as because you said that. But, yeah, let's be honest. Even if he has a worthy tag partner, Jeff Cobb is a one-man wrecking crew.
Yeah, you don't need anyone else anyway. He'll do fine.
Just look at a certain particular guy in Lucha Underground. He's a one-man wrecking crew. He'll be fine.
Yes. Christy?
Well, it shows that New Japan trusts him a lot to put him in a singles match in a tag team tournament. So I feel really bad for him, though, that he's always in this position.
Yes. I don't
because
think
he doesn't deserve that.
No. I don't think he's keen on this situation either, to be honest with you.
No, probably not.
No, he's kind of stuck, though. Okay, next is Tomohiro Ishii and Taro Yano. They're tagging for Chaos. Christy?
This is my kind of tag team.
Former IWGP tag team champions, I may point out.
Yeah, but you know when you look at them that there's going to be shenanigans. I can already imagine Ishii's face.
Yes.
Or non-expression whenever Yano does anything. Mm-hmm. So last time it was fun when they were teaming up a lot. During the G1 they were also teaming up a couple of times, I think. When was it?
Wrestle Kingdom before last was the last time they teamed seriously.
Seriously, yeah, yes. But there's been a couple of
they've had a couple of tag matches,
multi-man tags and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
I enjoy them. I'm looking forward to craziness.
Marcus, what are your thoughts on these two?
These two, man, the perfect odd couple. This should not work. It's like a fan of Pitbull with a woodpecker. it should work, but it does, because each man are just they let each other do their own thing, and it works, you know, for the team. So this is probably my second favorite pair. Not putting them over Juice and Finley, but yeah, if you go watch this tournament for somebody just to, you know, have enjoyment of, this is definitely a pair.
Okay, then.
You call him a woodpecker, but Desperado called Yano a fat raccoon.
I would never be that cruel to Yano.
Okay, next up we have the best friends, Beretta and Chucky T, actually probably the most experienced tag team in this tournament, and they've been putting some really good matches in, especially with Killer Elite Squad in the last couple of months. I'm looking for them to do well. Marcus, your thoughts on them too?
You say Beretta and who else?
Beretta and Chucky T.
Oh, yeah. I think we did that show together when they put up that great battle.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, against KES, so I'm just going to be my third, because these guys, you look at them straight up and down, like, oh, they might not do much, and then they get in there, and the cohesion is nuts, and if they put that on top of some, you know, sprinkle some aggression on top of that, they definitely going to be a team to watch, so, yeah.
Okay, Christy, what are your thoughts on Best Friends?
I'm happy, because friendship is magic.
It is.
As I've said before. They're going to be fun. They're going to be entertaining. They're going to be ridiculous. They're going to have the most amazing backstage promos out of everyone. If you don't listen to them or watch those backstage promos, you're missing out so, so much, because they're ridiculous. Chucky T is ridiculous. He's the most ridiculous man I've ever seen. On the one hand, he's talking about how hot Sonata is, and then he's talking about how he's going to kiss him. Then he's talking about how great Beretta is. It's really entertaining. So I know that people don't watch all of these matches, and they definitely don't watch the backstage stuff. But if you want a good time, go and look up the backstage promos for Best Friends.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Okay, next we have Hangman Page and Yujiro Takahashi. Unfortunately, Chase Owens had managed to book himself an indie day in the middle of the tournament, so it was going to be Hangman and Chase, I believe. That was the story. But Chase couldn't get out of the indie date, so he's had to hang up for the tournament, which is a real shame, because he's the best individual tag team wrestler in the world right now, and he's not in the best tournament in the world right now. But there you go. Hangman and Yujiro should go okay, I think, Christy.
I like them. I mean, last time they teamed up as well, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just like that Yujiro clearly likes Paige so much. I find that adorable. Because he doesn't really have that many friends in the Bullet now Elite.
Yes.
Is he still?
It's still Elite.
Difficult.
Yes. Yes.
Right now. Elite.
Yes.
But he likes Paige for some reason. I understand Paige seems really likable, but I find that in some strange way really endearing.
Aww.
That Yujiro is like, I like you. And he's been talking about wanting to tag with Paige for quite a while now. He did it in interviews and stuff. Like, I want to tag with Paige. I like Paige. I find that really cute.
Aww. Marcus, what are your thoughts on these two?
Oh, it's cool. It's cool. Like Yujiro a lot, love everything. It goes, you know, on around with Yujiro, cool guy. And me and you have talked extensively about, you know, love about the rise of Hangman Page.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely not a team to shrug off, but I just wish that, you know, Page could be paired with somebody kind of on a talent level of Owens. Not knocking Yujiro, but Hangman is definitely elevated to a certain level. And it would be great to see him be able to be paired with somebody like a Chase Owens, or hell, even if it was Tama Tonga, you know, something like that. And so they can almost even out. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. Obviously, I'm not saying that they can't rack up any wins. I just think he could definitely be more formidable with somebody like Owens.
Yeah, indeed. Right then, we move on to Tama Tonga and Tango Loa, the Gorillas of Destiny, your current IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. This should be really interesting and see how well they do and see if they can take the championship whilst champions. That doesn't happen very often. Marcus, what's your thoughts on the OGs?
I'm not finna put my money down on these guys. They got all the tools and weapons and motivation to get it, and they're Bullet Club, so shenanigans can be abundant. Hopefully they aren't. But, you know, that's always in the back pocket, and they make it clear that it's always in the back pocket. So, you know, the Gorillas of Destiny have always been one of my favorite teams, and now they just are poised and the way that they go about things just to do anything on top of already being super talented. So can't count these guys out whatsoever.
I think that, yeah, I think they've, yeah, I think they're going to take it more seriously than their G1 tournament, certainly. So we'll see how they go. Christy, what are your thoughts on the GOD?
They're going to be great. You just know that. They're so experienced together. They have so much going for them right now as well. Not just being the champions, but the whole Elite versus Bullet Club story is coming to a close. So I imagine they're going to have a great tournament. I don't imagine they will win.
No.
Because it doesn't really make sense to have the champions win, because they already have something. Give that rub to someone else.
Indeed.
But it's going to be great.
Excellent. Right. Minoru Suzuki has been separated from his golden partner in Rev Pro, Zack Sabre Jr. He's tagging with Takahashi Iizuka. Crazy and crazier, Christy.
They just want to spread out the torture, you know? have two matches of torture instead of one.
Fair
so
enough.
It makes sense.
Okay.
I like the idea of Suzuki with this monster. Suzuki's killing people in the ring and Iizuka is killing them outside of it. So, yeah. Should be fun.
Fair enough. Marcus?
One's killing them inside the ring, the other one's trying to eat them. it's pure devastation. I mean, like, and to be honest, like a Jeff Cobb, Suzuki doesn't need a partner. He's a one-man tornado. You know, he's taking in the outside the ring all around, and he doesn't take many shots from this guy to, you know, put you flat on your back. So, you know, this is going to be these two are going to definitely go cause havoc if nothing else.
Yeah, and also it makes sense that you need someone to take the pin.
Yeah.
Because Suzuki and Zack together, you kind of have to have them win.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the plan. So putting them apart and with people who can lose makes sense.
Okay. Next tag team up, Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith, Killer Elite Squad, former IWGP Tag Team Champions. Marcus, what are your thoughts on these two? Because I know you like these two.
Yeah, they're cool. KES is you know, they've already, you know, put their flag in the ground long ago in terms of being a great tag team. Audience, get your umbrellas out. Get your hoodies or your raincoats on, because you know what's coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's KES. They go bring the heat every time. Very much would love to see them running the GOD. I think that could steal a show.
Yeah, you know, will happen, because this is round robin for everybody.
Yeah, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. But it's KES. They always, you know, great to watch. David Boy Smith, Lance Archer's David Boy Smith technical ability with Lance Archer's just boss man strength with his chaotic behavior. It's just a perfect combination.
Christy, what are your thoughts?
I'm weirdly amused by Archer. I don't know why. Sometimes I don't even want to. Like, why? But I find him amusing. David Boy Smith is a great wrestler, not my kind of person.
Mm.
So that doesn't help his case, but I really enjoy these two together. I think they're great heels. I don't think there's too many teams that really want to be a heel these days.
Yeah.
And they're just great at it. And I look forward to seeing who Archer scares this time. Kids, dogs, I don't know.
Okay, then. We move on to the next tag team, which, Christy, I think you'll enjoy more. Zack Sabre Jr. and Tai Chi.
I'm amused by this. Because I remember when Zack got into New Japan, everyone was talking about, oh, he hates Tai Chi. He never wanted to wrestle Tai Chi. And then it was a big deal that he was in a faction with Tai Chi, and now he's a tag team with him. It's just going to be fun. You've got Zack on the one hand, who gets really, really angry when people don't lose to him.
Yeah.
And then you've got Tai Chi, who doesn't really care about anything.
No.
He's probably going to sulk because he lost his title. I hope Mio is there. Maybe Mio can do the whole Taka speech at the beginning.
Maybe so. I'm not sure that I don't think they can afford to pop for Mio through the entire tournament, though.
They should.
Yes, they should.
They're probably not going to, but they should.
That will actually make Tai Chi interesting.
Imagine that for a second, though. Mio grabs the microphone and tells everyone how great Tai Chi is.
Yeah.
She's probably not going to do it for Zach.
Yeah. So. Marcus, your thoughts on these two?
Zach, I'm sure Jeff Cobb feels your pain. this should definitely be interesting to watch, specifically just, you know, Zach's brilliant behavior. And it's another couple pairing. Obviously one guy's gonna be doing something, another guy's gonna be doing something else. Hopefully said other guy can, you know, kind of put the shenanigans aside and get stick more to wrestling, because Zach, in my opinion, ups anybody's game he's with, whether he's an opponent or a partner. So hopefully that's what we get from these two.
Okay, then. Sanada and Evil will be the final team of the 2018 Tag League. Marcus, what are your thoughts on these two?
I'm a bet man. It's another bet I place on these two. I mean, you can't. It's another team. You're not going to find a lot of holes with these guys. You know, unless one is ended or they're just not on the same page for whatever, you know, godly reason, which I couldn't see. You know, there's another team that's going to go far in this tournament, you know, rack up a lot of wins. They just, you know, fluid and flawless in a lot of ways. You know, they're former champions also. So, you know, they got that on their side. But, you know, you look at guys like them, G-O-D, K-E-S.
Yeah.
It's going to be... We'll get some good stuff in this tournament.
The serious tag teams, as it were. Christy, yeah. What are your thoughts on these two?
They're my favorite. I want them to win. It's that easy, that simple. I like a lot of the other teams, but these guys I want to see win. So.
Fair enough. Sounds reasonable to me. Okay, then. Well, that ends our coverage for Power Struggle today.
Can I make one more suggestion before
certainly,
we go?
Certainly.
Because I looked at the cards for some of these shows, and I'm assuming a lot of people won't watch all of the matches or all of the cards. But I think it's really interesting that there's a couple of fascinating matches to me. For example, there's at least two, I think, Suzuki Gun versus Suzuki Gun matches.
Yes, there will be. Yeah. Three.
Just in the tournament itself, because there's going to be at least three.
Right.
I imagine. But also Suzuki-Gun with Kanemaru and versus a Suzuki-Gun team with Desperado. So I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious what they're going to do with that. And then there's the Tanahashi, Okada, Kushida, Rocky Romero team versus Bullet Club.
That could be interesting.
I think that could be really interesting.
Yes. We shall see. Right then, that will wrap up our coverage of Power Struggle today. Thank you very much for your time, for listening to us, and I'd like to thank my guests, Christy from Wrestling Sexism and New Japan Gifts. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, as always.
You can find her at SmarkInfested on Twitter, at AJPW Gifts, and at Wrestling Sexism, where she likes to talk about wrestling in three different places.
Yes, way too much.
Yeah, I would also like to thank Mr. Marcus Green of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your time, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Always a pleasure.
You can find him at Paradox Kid on Twitter. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can also find the show at Troopany Show on Twitter and on Facebook and at Patreon, where you can keep the show free forever for everyone. I'm just going to flick through my Flickr and tell you what's going to happen on Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind this week. They will be talking about Scott D'Amore, talking about Impact Wrestling and their relationship with ROH, Matt Riddle and how his lifestyle has changed in NXT. I can bet one thing's changed in his lifestyle. Jose Lothario, trainer of Shawn Michaels, has passed away, 83 years old. And of course, Tetsuya Naito going to WWE? Not. Anyway, take care. You'll see hear that show Wednesday, Thursday time. We'll be back next week, where we'll be looking probably at something from the New Japan Beginner's Guide, the Japanese Beginner's Guide. Not really quite sure yet. We're going to have a chat and figure it all out. Take care, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye!